I asked Mike and Susan to come, and I'm just going to do a quick interview with them, because this time, 2 years ago, we were beginning the fast, 21-day fast, and I wanted them to hear, the people to hear your story of what God did at the end of that fast and where you are today. So just quickly, what happened at the end of the fast? Were you fasting for anything particular, or were you just seeking God?
We were just seeking God. Well, to begin with, the Lord leads you. He's always trying to talk to us and lead us. And it just happened that he had something else for us on about 2 years ago. And he wanted to, it's his desire to always increase us. And what he did was he led us. And I'm just thankful that you had told us to journal, because that really helped. I went back and I found my journal for 20, and I could see all the different scriptures and all the breadcrumbs that the Lord had given to us.
The big thing was we started seeing numbers, and we started seeing the number 111, and this started happening even before the fast. This happened during, we were on vacation for our anniversary in September, and then we didn't know, what does this mean? So it was just surprising, but when we got into the fast and asking for his guidance, it was like 4 months, really, until we figured out what he was trying to tell us. And what we found out was 111 was Joshua 1:11. Okay. And it talked about going into the land. And then we used this as a scripture to hold on to. And then there was Hebrews 11:1, which tell us about faith. So we started believing that God had something for us. We started believing that there was a land for us. And then that's when, during the fast, the Lord gave Susan this strategy.
Yeah, you guys had taken that from you, correct? You had taken that
yes.
from you?
Yes, that was going to mention
that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, because that was part of the Lord putting it into our hearts that he actually says, you know, we need to get out of debt. And we had gotten out of debt, all except for our house. And I thought, well, you know, the main thing is, you know, put more towards your mortgage, which we were doing. But the Lord, I put down on January 11th. It happened to be the 11th. I didn't know what. Yeah, it was the second day of the fast. And he gave me this verse. It says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwelling, spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. And that's in Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will resettle desolate cities. So I felt like the Lord was saying he wanted to do more for us. This is what he wanted. And he gave given me, I think it was another psalm, either 37 or 34 or something like that. It just keeps talking about five times it gives certain words about taking the land or living in the land. And both of those phrases, actually, yesterday we were going over this, five for one phrase, six for another, and it totals up to 11. So, I mean, but the 11, we didn't get the meaning of that until like 2 months later. But,
so tell them the idea that God put on your heart about doing that thing.
Okay. Well, and I was going to say about that is, let the Lord give you the strategy. You don't have to exactly do what we have done, but the Lord will give you a strategy for whatever it is that he wants you to do in your life. But he gave us the strategy of actually cashing out some of our money that was already in the home and buying a fixer-upper. and then we would fix that up, and then we would sell our other one. So that was, I had never really heard that before. That's actually not in, in Dave Ramsey. So it,
Dave,
I thought,
Dave wouldn't agree with that.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Right. But if the Lord gives it to you, and he, you know it's the Lord, then he'll, you know, and he confirms the word, then it'll work, you know. So
what happened after you got the word? I mean, you started moving on it.
Yes. We started moving on it.
You started looking for a property, and God gave you a property.
Yes.
I'm going to speed it up just a little bit because I know some of the details, but you looked for a piece of property. God gave that piece of property to you for a pretty good deal. You've been working pretty hard. It wasn't just faith. It was faith and work, right?
Right.
Lots of work.
Right. Lots of work, but the Lord also gave us a lot of people to help. And we're just very thankful. Most of them are from this church. Not all of them, I think. Yeah. So different people, God put it in their hearts to come and help us.
How long did it take?
1.5 years, I think.
Yeah. When did you complete it?
It was... Well, some of the rooms are still not completely finished, but we moved in, I think it was this.
Just before Thanksgiving.
Right, just before Thanksgiving.
And you like it?
Yes, we love it.
It's an awesome house. Right. And so, God, you followed that plan. I'm doing the fast forward button, but you did a thank you dinner for those who helped, and I happened to be at that dinner. And there was an older lady sitting in the corner. I didn't know who she was. And here she was, the neighbor across the street. And she had been praying for years that someone would buy that house and fix it up. And it just so happened that she was sitting in the living room with the fruit of her own prayers. And how many know that God answers prayer? Yeah? So now, fast forward, what's going on with your other house? You've moved out of your old house. What's going on with that? Give us a real quick update, man.
Well, with this house, Susan's mother was able to come and live with us for a little while. We had to renovate a room to make it handicap accessible. We put in a shower, a toilet, and a sink because she had a wheelchair. And our neighbor moved out. She went to a nursing home. But the people that moved in and bought her house have a handicapped daughter, and they live right next door. She was handicapped from birth. And they are in the middle of getting their money together to buy our house.
And when they buy your house.
And when they buy our house, we'll be
debt free.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I love that story because it has everything to do with how God is able to speak to us when we seek him. You know, when we fast and we pray, I love the fact that they weren't fasting and praying about getting out of debt. They were fasting and praying to seek God, and God wanted to get them out of debt. I mean, God has ideas for us. And so we are beginning day one of our fast. I'm going to be speaking today about how to fast. I'm going to do how to fast because you're cold. I'll do as fast as I can go, all right? But I wanted to say that some of, you know, you've never fasted before. Even the word fast is scary to you. There's a reason why they call it breakfast, because fast is in the word breakfast. It literally means to break fast. So most of us only fast between going to bed at night and getting up in the morning. That's the fast we normally do. But it is there's such a benefit to fasting. The first time I ever heard about fasting was from a letter from my father as a sophomore in college. I was seeking God about a major decision in my life, and he sent me a letter. I wish I would have kept that letter, because how many know a letter from your dad means a lot? I've only gotten a few of them, but they've always meant a lot to me. And he wrote in that letter, he said, you might want to consider fasting. There's just something about fasting. And I remember that phrase and thought, boy, I don't know if I could ever fast because I like food. Anybody else besides me like food? I like, you know, all kinds of food. So I don't know if I could ever fast. And you know what though? Years later, after Kimberly and I had broken up, was the first time I ever fasted. I did a 3-day fast. I would like to say it was a 3-day water fast. I'll tell you why I fasted. I knew that if I didn't get closer to God, I was going to go away from God. Sometimes when something happens in your life that is so devastating and you know yourself well enough, you need to recognize that I'm either going to get closer to God or I'm going to fall away. What I found with fasting is it's one of those tools to help you stay close to God. And that was the first time I ever fasted. From that point on, I began to recognize the benefit of fasting. And fasting is one of those things that can help you grow closer to God. It's a tool. It's a weapon. How many played football or ever watched football? When you've played football, you recognize that when you have someone to tackle that is big, you don't hit them high, right? You hit them high. Oh, come on, do I have any football fans in here? I know I've got at least one Atlanta Falcons fan. I saw her hat. Where you at? Where you at, Joanna? I saw her somewhere. Rich has got to be bragging. But listen, if you're a small guy like me, you don't tackle big guys up high. You go low. And it doesn't matter how big they are. The lower you go, the easier they come down. Here's the thing. When you're about to tackle a hard situation in your life, when you've got a major decision to make, you got something going in your life, you need to get lower. And fasting helps you get lower to tackle whatever you're facing. See, I believe we have no excuse. Say no excuse. I believe we have no excuse not to reach our destiny. He's given us His Son. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His Word. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. But sometimes we have to initiate going after God. Sometimes it's like the winds are against us. And I mentioned last week that there's a cycle that we go through where in every new season that we go through, there's the season where we're slaves, and that's where God does things for us in Egypt, right? We didn't set ourselves free. Jesus set us free. Aren't you glad that God does things for us? And then He takes us into the wilderness, and that's where He's providing for us every day. And every day there's manna and there's water coming from rocks, and those are the things. And that's when God is doing something in us. But then the day comes when we have to cross Jordan. And when we have to cross Jordan, the day we decide we're going to follow God into our calling, we have to initiate stepping into the Jordan. The Jordan didn't split and then they walked across. The Red Sea split, then they walked across. But the Jordan, they had to step into it first. Say initiate. They initiated it. And the day they crossed the Jordan, that's the day the manna stopped. That's the day that God stopped doing things for them and He started doing things through them. And see, what I'm saying is that there's times in our life, and fasting is one of those, where we take initiative to seek God. We don't have to feel God to seek Him. In fact, most of the time when you don't feel God, that's the time to seek Him. That's the time to stir up your heart and say, God, I'm going to pursue You. Even this morning in worship, I got a kick out of this that, you know, sometimes when you're worshiping, it takes you moving your feet, moving your hands, moving your mouth to warm up your heart. It sometimes starts in your extremities before it moves to your heart. But I'm initiating praise. Why? Because He's worthy. I'm initiating, whether I feel it or I don't, does not factor into the reality that God is great and greatly to be praised. He's not meant to be praised just a little bit. He's meant to be extravagantly praised. And there's something about physical obedience that brings spiritual blessing. And that's what fasting is. It's pursuing God at a whole new dimension. So I'm going to go as quick as I can this morning. Hopefully you get something from it. Our key verse is Jeremiah 33:3, where God says, call to Me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. That's what happened to Mike and Susan. They were calling on God and God began to reveal to them a secret. Now you say, well, that's awesome. But no, it's not as awesome as you think it is, because for Mike and Susan, it's really awesome. Right? They just gave themselves a raise. Right? And those promises that God has spoken to them for their kids and their children's children. How many know that that's a promise of God? That promise hasn't stopped. It's going to continue. Hebrews 11:6 says, for anyone who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder. Say that with me. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. See, when you step out to fast, now many of you are saying, well, how do I fast? Do I have to fast 21 days? No, we're going to take 21 days as a church body corporately to seek God in fasting. What does that mean? It may mean for you that you're going to during that 21 days, you're going to take lunch breaks. And instead of eating your lunch, you're going to go read your Bible. It's going to look different for each one of us. Some of you might do a Daniel fast for 21 days. I hate the Daniel fast. I don't like Daniel for doing that. That just drives me nuts. I don't believe. Listen. If you're a vegetarian, God bless you. But I'm just saying, if God didn't intend for us to eat animals, why did he make them out of meat? That's all I'm saying. I like my meat, I like my potatoes, and I like my bread, right? But some of you might be led to do a Daniel fast. Some of you, you might be led to do a real fast. And listen, I say real fast because a biblical fast is not just fasting CNN. A real biblical fast is food. Sorry, that's what it is. Real biblical fast, let's call it what it is food. God might lead you to actually fast once a day or once a week, one day out of that week. God might lead you to fast 3 days for every week. What I'm saying is be spirit-led. Be spirit-led. This is not an exercise in discipline. It's an exercise in desperation. It's really an expression of desperation. God, I need more of you in my life. How many need more of God in their life? I need more of God in my life. So, but when you go on the fast, let me give you something really deep. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to get hungry. And when you get hungry, how do you handle when you get hungry? Your body is going to tell you you're going to die. And I promise you, no one has died from overfasting. Most people have died from overeating, right? You're not going to die from overfasting. You're going to get hungry. The thoughts in your head, whatever it is that you commit to do, they're going to say, you know, those thoughts are going to say, was that really God? Did I really hear God? I'm not feeling God. Is this really God? And so you need to have some sort of shield to lift up during that time. And the Bible talks about lifting up a shield of faith. Here's what you need to lift up, that God is a rewarder. You can break through the moment that you're walking through, any moment, by lifting up a shield of faith, by lifting your eyes from the moment into the future and saying, God, I don't know what the reward is, but I know that you're a rewarder for those who diligently seek you. And he also says that he will reward in open what is done in secret. I know we're doing this as a corporate fast, but don't do this for me. Don't do this for someone else. Don't say, oh, look how good I am, I can fast. Do this as a way of humbling yourself before God and saying, God, I want more of you. And last year I fasted one day. This year I'm fasting three. Last year I did the Daniel fast. What I'm saying is don't lock it into a discipline thing. Lock it into a desperation thing. God, I need you. Amen? All right, so how do we fast? Last week I talked about why we fast. And the main point of that is that there is no substitute for seeking God. There is just no substitute for seeking God. I've learned over the years that we are all wired the same way. I'm wired this way. You're wired this way. That we are all looking for somebody to hear God for us. And there's a time that God does that for us. But you know what? This is what I've discovered. That God will only let you go so far that way before he says, no, you have to seek me. And you're going to come to crossroads in your life to where you say, I can go left or I can go right. And it seems like the Bible says I can do either one. I can find biblical references for both ways. How do you know which road to take? Because there's significance in whichever road you take. You find which road you take by seeking him. I was just going to go on a little tangent there. But you know, I was thinking about this week. If you look at the Bible, there are about 10 to 11 chapters about a guy named Abraham. Right? And he's the father of faith. There are about 11 chapters for his grandson Jacob, or Israel, given in the Old Testament. There are 66 chapters in the Old Testament referencing and specifically focusing on David. There are, I wish I could have gotten exact numbers, but over 2,000 references to David. More than any other figure in the Bible. And you know what? If I say Abraham, you say faith. If I say Moses, you say law. I say Elijah, Elisha, you say miracles. But if I say David, you know what comes to mind? Worship and seeking God. There's something attached to seeking him. David sought God. On David's best day, he sought God. When he became king, thousands of bulls were slayed and sacrificed because he was seeking God on his best day. On his worst day in Ziklag, guess what he was doing? Seeking God. On his best day and on his worst day, he's seeking God. You know that Jesus referred to this, the Psalms and referenced the Psalms more than any other book, more than the prophets, more than the law. He referenced the Psalms. Why? Because there was something about David that he resonated with. There was something about who David was that he sought God. There is no substitute for seeking God. There is no substitute for becoming a worshiper. So how do we fast and pray? Number one, assume the correct position or the correct posture. Do you have your notes in front of you? You can pull, if your fingers can write, if the ink is not frozen, you can write these notes in. Assume the correct posture. Habakkuk 2:1 says this, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me. What's he saying? I'm going to get in position. I'm going to put myself in position. I like the two words at the beginning. I will. I will. I will. Incidentally, the Bible never says that God will humble you. It always says that we're to humble ourselves. See, God can humiliate you, but only you can humble you. That's good right there. What I'm saying is we have to initiate this. He says, I'm going to go. Listen, I tell my kids all the time that if you want to get hit by a truck, you got to be playing in traffic. Right? If you want to get touched by God, you've got to position yourself and put in posture yourself to be where God is going to answer. And we want to make sure that we're in the right posture. And we're in the right posture. And fasting is not an exercise in discipline. It is a posture of humbling myself before God in desperation, saying, God, I need you. And this is what it says in James 4, 8 through 10. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Who starts it? Who starts it? We come near to God. He comes near to us. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. This is not a time to be watching all kinds of movies. I'm not saying you can't watch TV. I'm not saying you eliminate every piece of media in your life. I'm saying limit them. It's not a time to be on social media every day. It's not a time to be watching, going to the movies every day. It's not the time to be watching news all day long. It's a time to open up your word. It's a time to spend extra time with God, because whether we realize it or not, this life contaminates us. Does it not? I remember we had a powerful service a few years back. Powerful service. And have you ever left church feeling clean? Just feeling renewed, like, man, I can breathe again. My heart is so pure. And we came back. I was tired. And I sat down in my sofa and we started watching a very innocent movie. But when we started watching that movie, it just felt so contaminating to me. There's nothing wrong with movies, by the way. But I was just like, I had just been in the presence of holiness, and now I'm in with the mundane. Hello? He's saying, wash yourself, purify yourself. How do you wash yourself? Well, the Bible says that Jesus in Ephesians 5 says that he washes his bride with the washing of the word. The word of God purifies us. Psalms 119:11. How can a young man keep his life pure? How can he keep his heart pure? By taking heed unto your word. The word of God purifies us. It says, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. In your notes, fasting is not forcing, it's focusing. It's not forcing God to do anything. David, whenever he was fasting that his little boy wouldn't die. He had sinned with Bathsheba and he fasted. He mourned. He sought God in tears, right? But when his boy died, he got up, wiped his face, went in and he ate. Why did he do that? Because he recognized, he said, perhaps the Lord might be merciful. Right? He's not forcing God. If we fast for something and it doesn't take place, don't be upset. You're positioning. It's okay to ask. We're going to ask God for things. We're going to seek God for things. But what we're really seeking, the real reward, is Him. Is Him. How many know that if you got everything you asked for, sometimes aren't you glad you didn't get that girl that you were asking for in high school? Oh, am I the only one? Okay. Yeah, aren't you glad you didn't get that house you thought you could not live without, only to find out later it had termites? There's some things that you're glad that God does not answer. And guess what? God doesn't always say no. Sometimes He just says not yet. But we're not fasting to twist God's arm. We're fasting to position ourselves, to humble ourselves before Him, to, yes, ask Him and seek Him for our needs and our dreams and our desires. It's okay. It's biblical to do those things. But we're not forcing God. We're only focusing on Him. Fasting is not for the strong. It's for the weak. It's for those who are needy, those who are hungry, those who are thirsty. It's not for those who are determined. Hello? Are you guys awake this morning? I know. I see the hands going. You're like Bob Cratchit in front of the candle. You're like, oh, you're getting closer and closer. This is a good thing for lovers. I mean, you're getting closer and closer. So assume the correct posture. Number two, name your desire. Name your desire. We need to know what we're praying for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if you don't know what you're hoping for, how can you have faith? Let me say that again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you don't know what you're seeking God for, how can you have faith for that? I heard a story this week I've been watching a guy named David Yonggi Cho. He has a tremendous anointing and insight into faith. And he's Korean, so I love his accent and the way he talks. I can't do it right, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's just cute. He's very soft guy. He talked like this. And he said, years ago, I was praying for, I want to understand faith. And so he said, and God took him to Hebrews 11 and showed him that verse that if you don't pray specifically, you're not praying in faith. And so he learned this principle, and God began to show him how to pray specifically. And he was preaching at another church, and this lady was there, and she had been praying for a husband for years, and God had not given her a husband. And so he asked her, what did she want in a husband? And she said, I don't know. And so he said, well, meet me tomorrow, and we're going to talk about how to pray in faith. And so she met with him. He had a list of questions. He said, you want tall husband or short husband? She said, tall. She said, oh, tall. You want chubby husband or thin husband? Thin. Okay. You want what kind of profession? Teacher. Okay. And you know what? Here's what happened. She took that list and she began to pray that list. And he came back to the church like a year later and forgotten the lady. But they were all excited. The church was all excited because she had gotten married. And I guess this singing group had come to their church. And this man who was one of those bachelor guys where all the ladies were trying to go after him fell in love with this older spinster who had been praying. And she might not have been a spinster, but she was older than the rest. And he was a teacher. He was tall. He was thin. It was what God wanted. You say, well, why be specific? Because I believe the dreams within you are God dreams. I'm not saying that every desire is a God desire. Some desires are just good desires. But my point is there are things that are in you that are dreams that you need to define. What is it? Kimberly and I, the first conversation we had walking, she asked me, do you have a list? And I didn't have a list. She was more faith-filled than I did, but she had a two-column list on a page. And you know, I fit every one of those things. I'm not kidding. Some were weird things. Likes my feet. I like her feet. I don't know why she put that in there. Likes to give back rubs. I like to give her back rubs. I mean, it's just all those things. How many know that she prayed me into existence? If you need a car, start asking God for the right car. Hello? And I'm not saying like if you make $30,000 a year, you're praying for a Lamborghini. You can pray for a Lamborghini, but it may take 60 years and you might have to work for it. Right? I'm saying let God stretch you, but begin to pray for some things that are specific. I have some specific things that I'm going to seek God for. I'm going to believe God for new chairs in this facility this year. I'm believing God for 400 people, both services filled up by the end of this year. Hello? I'm believing God that this year we're going to march around our new property. Why? Because I believe it's a God desire. It's not my desire. Some of the desires that God places within you, they look selfish to other people, but they're not selfish. God Himself has put those desires, even when those desires seem like they have no eternal value whatsoever. How many know God loves us? He loves to give us good things. And if you're praying general prayers, He has a hard time answering general prayers because He doesn't get any glory for that. But when you pray specific things, then He gets glory. So be specific. This is what Mark 10:51 says. Jesus, you know this story, when the man that was begging him to heal Jesus to heal him. And Jesus responds, the guy was obviously blind. He says, what do you want me to do for you? There's some aspect of faith that applies when we tell God what we want. So name your desire. Moses wanted to see God and fasted. Ezra fasted to see safe passage with the money that he had. Samuel wanted spiritual renewal. Esther needed deliverance. David wanted his son to live. Daniel needed revelation. Jesus needed anointed. They were all fasts. Every one of those were fasts they were seeking God for. Number three, last point, embrace the sacrifice. Sacrifice is not something you hear much of anymore. We are instantaneous millennial generations. I believe this generation, whether you're 60 or whether you're 20, are all ADD. We all want it now and we want it yesterday. But you know what? This is the process of the kingdom. The process of the kingdom is seed oriented. There is no elevators in the kingdom. There is a process tied to every promise. We are all helpless to grow, to receive our promise apart from God. Do you believe that? A farmer is helpless to grow grain. He can only position that seed in the right place and allow time and his nurture and his watering to grow that. But it takes sacrifice to do that. I never saw a successful farmer that slept in. It takes sacrifice. Embrace it. Let's thank God that we have something. Let's thank God that it takes a little more effort to be cold to be in church. I'm thankful for our place. I remember when Keith is here on the front row. I remember a few years back that we were at 6 a.m. getting up with our hands getting stuck to the back of the trailer because it was so frozen. I'm thankful that we have this place, and I'm thankful for our new place. How do I get through times like this? I think of our new place. I'm worshiping there next to a stone fireplace in our new building that has more than enough heat. It's warm in the winter and cool in the summer, right? I'm already there. But while I'm on the process, I'm not going to despise the process. I'm going to be grateful in this process, because why? It's an honor to have something to lay at his feet. It's an honor to have something for the one who had thorns in his brow and a sword in his side and nails in his hands and his feet. It's an honor to have something to sacrifice. Yes, I like food, but if my stomach is growling a little bit so that I can be closer to him, it's an honor to sacrifice for him. It's 3 weeks, folks. 3 weeks. To step back and say, God, I need you. I need you. We need to embrace sacrifice. I believe that obedience trumps sacrifice. Do you believe that? But there's something powerful about obedience with sacrifice. Something about sacrifice, as you read in the Old Testament, that fire always fell on sacrifice. We're going to sacrifice. Don't just do the easy fast. Do the fast that's going to stretch you. Do the fast that's going to demand something of you that, yeah, this actually hurts a little bit. This is painful to actually, someone was going to make me a cherry pie for my birthday. If I wanted to cry, I could cry because every fast starts on my birthday. It's an honor. It's an honor. We got to remember that sacrifice is an honor. And there's something about sacrifice that honors him. And he honors. You know, I was reading this passage and thinking about this passage this week as I was listening to Jensen Franklin. In 2 Samuel 6:12-13, it says that now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Every 6 paces, David so honored God that he killed 2 animals and worshiped God. You say, well, that's kind of weird. How do you know that's a little extravagant? Wouldn't you say? You know, you're going to look at being weird for sacrificing food to pray. I don't care. Normal's not working. normal is to get divorced right now. Normal is to be on every type of anxiety medication. Normal is to have sin in your life and be okay with it. That's normal. I don't want to be normal. I'm not hungry to be normal. I'm hungry to be used of God because Jesus paid an awful price for me to live abundantly. And I'm not saying abundantly so I have a big house. I'm saying abundantly with peace, abundance of faith, abundance of more than enough joy, abundance of finance, abundance. This is what he died for. I'm not content being normal. So what David did wasn't normal, but you know what? Every six paces, and here's the reality, six paces equals 2 feet, 2 inches, 26 inches. So every 2 feet, every six steps, they would 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, they would stop, kill a bull, kill a calf, and worship God. You say, well, that's weird. Yeah, it is weird, especially when you realize that where he was coming from in Obed-Edom's house was 6 miles away. So this is how it breaks down. For them to do that, it was 2,437 stops in 6 miles. That equals 406 stops per mile. That means for every stop, 2,437 oxen were slain, 2,437 calves were slain. If it took 30 minutes to prepare those sacrifices, if it took them 30 minutes, that would be 1,259 hours or 52 days. If you account for 8 hours of sleep, 3 hours to eat, you add another 630 hours or 26 days. In other words, it took David 78 days to move 6 miles because he was willing to sacrifice to have the presence of God in his life. He was unwilling to go not having Jesus as the center of his life. What I'm saying is it's going to take some sacrifice if you want the presence of God. And here's the reality. The kingdom of David expanded more than any other kingdom that was in the history of the Israel nation. Why? Because he sacrificed to have the presence of God. I don't care if it cost me some sleep. I don't care if it cost me some food. I don't care if I shed a couple pounds. Trust me, I need to shed a couple pounds. But if my stomach is growling so that my heart can grow, why not? If I can have his presence and it's sacrificial to do it, oh my, let's do it. Some of us would grow spiritually if we could just break through the compromise, if we could just break through inconvenience, if we could just break through the inconvenience of having to get up a little earlier, if we have to break the inconvenience to call on his name a little longer, we would grow! And here's the reality. If we will grow, there are people on the other side of our sacrifices. On the other side, how many know that there's a generation that needs to see the glory of God in our homes, in our churches, in our lives? They don't need to see Christians who are nominal. They need to see Christians who are set on fire from heaven himself. And if it takes sacrifice, why not? Why not? It's quiet in here, but I tell you what, you can do what you want, but I want the presence of God. I need the presence of God. How many know that you might need to name your kids as one of the things you're fasting for? Don't just leave them to whatever their emotions are going to do. Don't just leave them to whatever the society says they're going to be. Circle them in fasting and prayer and saying, not my child. Lord, put your stamp on their head. Put your hand on their forehead. God, let your anointing rest on them when they sleep. And if they're going through something great, greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. And if that doesn't rock you, then seek God until it does. If that doesn't explode in you, if you're just a Christian where life is happening to you, then get on your knees and pray and fast and say, God, wake me up. Slam me full of your spirit until I see you like I should see you. And I'll say it again like I said last week. I can't do it for you. And you can't do it for me. But there's no substitute for seeking God. And embrace the sacrifice. How bad do you want to see your marriage in Christ? Are you willing to step back and put your phone on hold? Turn the TV off? push the plate back and say, God, awaken me until I can pray with such authority that it may not be this year, it may not be next year, but we will see the kingdom of God in our household, in our marriage. What does it matter to you? See, I believe David understood that I cannot govern. And I love this because he heard that God was blessing Obed-Edom's house. And he said, I want that. I want that. I want the blessing of God. I want the presence of God. And I'll sacrifice every six steps if I have to. And if it takes me 78 days, where it's every six steps we stop and we have a dust storm, and I don't care who's looking out the window. I don't care what someone else is saying. Why? Because they didn't die for me. And as much as we need good connections in our life, there's only one person who can bless our life, and that's Jesus. There's only one. I love that scripture where it says, they may curse, but you will bless. You will bless. Why don't you stand to your feet? So what do we do from here? Well, here's my suggestion. Don't just listen to a preacher preaching. Go home and say, Holy Spirit, what are you requiring of me? Where are you leading me? What is my next step? And you say, well, what if I don't hear anything? Then pick something. Humble yourself. What's it going to take? I don't always hear God how long to fast and all those things. Sometimes I don't have a sense of how long. All I know is I need Him. And I think to myself, what's really going to make a difference? I mean, I could do a day fast and it not really change anything. But you know, about day three, something begins to shift in me. Incidentally, if you do fast more than 3 days, the first 3 days are the hardest. First 3 days, your stomach is learning to shut down. You know, you're going to be hungry, might get some headaches during those times. I'm not a really good faster, to be honest with you. I'll drink milkshakes at times, lots of V8, grape juice. I will say this, and this is funny. Don't drink plum juice on a fast. I thought it was grape juice, okay? About 15 minutes in, something was coming out. And I was in the toilet saying, lift off. I have never experienced anything like that. We still laugh about it. I was on a 5-day fast. On day five, my in-laws were in, and their son had some GI problems. And I thought it was grape juice. I drank a glass of that. I'm telling you, it was like, there was something alive inside. So don't drink that. Now what I'm saying is this. How bad do you want it? How do you want it? Break up the fallow ground. I get weary of the excuses that I hear. I get weary of my own excuses. And if I could do one thing today, if I had a big old sledgehammer for every excuse that was propping you up of why your life isn't just working right, I'd take a sledgehammer and just knock out every one of those beams and say, now, seek God. Seek God. Seek Him until He knows. Seek Him until you see a difference. You know what? Situations might not change immediately, but I promise you this, as you seek Him, you'll change on the inside. A quietness will come. The need to give an excuse for every reason you do things, the need for trying to please every person just begins to quiet down, and you just get into this place where you're just humble. You're just humble and you say, God, I just need you so more. And you know, I don't know if you're like me, but I sometimes can hear the accuser. How many ever besides me hear the accuser? You know why we need to seek God continually? Because it says in Revelation chapter 10, I believe it is, that there's an accuser that stands before God day and night that accuses us before Him. He's relentless, right? But you know, sometimes that those accusations you can begin to hear in your own mind. Sometimes they come through people that are close to you. What I've learned is that when I get right with God, when I hear those accusations, rather than them hurting me, it's almost a response of, you know what? I can give you 10 more. But the blood of Jesus has covered me. You don't like me? Oh, I can give you more reasons why not to like me. You think I'm bad? Oh, I got 10,000 more things I could. If you really knew me, no one would. You understand what I'm saying? But see, when you're in the wrong place, you're defensive. You're in the right place, you're like, oh, you're right, boy. But I tell you what, I'm loved by God. He loves me. He loves me. You've fallen again and again. Oh, yes, I have fallen again and again. But the blood of God covers every sin. Amen. Father, I thank you for your presence this morning. God, as we begin this fast, as we begin to seek you as a corporate body, Lord, we expect that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. God, we're not just doing this out of religious duty. We're breaking up the fallow ground. Change our life. God, as we begin to circle the dreams and the fears and the desires that you've placed within us, God, as we begin to seek you, God, will we begin to hear stories like Mike and Susan? May we begin to hear stories of those who begin to shift things through prayer. God, we thank you that you're here today. God, I pray that you would just cover your people. Cover them, anoint them. Give them a heart of David that will seek you, Lord, in all times, continually praise on their lips, God. I thank you, Father, that their heart is for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bless you to have a heart to seek God. May you say with David that no good thing does he withhold from those who fear him. May God bless you this week. May God's countenance shine upon you. May his grace be full in your life today. Go have a great week. Tell somebody about Jesus.